Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Cott and I'm delighted to be joined this week by Record Sports' Matthew Fulton. How are you, Matthew?
I'm great, Dan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's just the two of us this week, but between us, we're the best two anyway, so don't worry about it.
Of course.
Michael Gannon, when he hears that, probably won't be best pleased, but look, it's the truth. It's the truth, that's all I can say. I think the best place for us to start, since we last did a Celtic podcast, the Premiership campaign is up and running. 4-2 win over Ross County, and David Turnbull was the star of the show. But were you a little bit surprised to see him start in the first place?
Sure was. I think Turnbull has shown since he signed for Celtic that he can certainly contribute. But, as was pretty much indicated by himself and Matt O'Reilly post-match, he hasn't actually had many opportunities in recent years. There's a wealth of competition in the Celtic midfield. I think that much is clear. But I think with some of the new boys coming in and Aaron Moy leaving and stuff like that, there is an opportunity, I think, for Turnbull to break into that side. But it sure was a surprise. But Brendan Rodgers has spoken about it already. That's what pre-season's about. It's about him getting introduced to new players, old players that he might have known about before. And it's about guys trying to break in and get opportunities. And he was superb off the mark, David Turnbull. He really was. He looked comfortable within the starting 11. I think that's maybe something that couldn't have been said about him last season, perhaps. You know, when he would come on to replace the likes of Rio Hatate or Matt O'Reilly, he maybe looked very much like a squad player. He didn't look like that at all at the weekend. So very interesting to see if Rodgers is going to continue on with that.
I love Hatate. Like, for me, when he's at his best, Hatate's the best player in the country. Kyle goes up there and there's a couple others, but for me it's Hatate. But having watched a few of the Celtic friendlies, I do think he was a bit kind of sloppy and a bit kind of off his game. I know he played with Japan through the summer and he's not had a long break. Maybe that's something to do with it, I don't know. But I think it was quite refreshing to see Turnbull get a start. And obviously scored twice, once from the penalty spot. The thing about Turnbull though is he's out of contract at the end of the season. We've not really heard any murmurings. Oh, geez, easy for me to say, murmurings about a new deal. I just wonder if maybe he's maybe thinking, look, maybe it's time for something else. I don't know. I'm purely speculating.
No, it's an interesting point to raise, and I think David Turnbull would be a top player for almost all of the other Premiership teams if he was to stay in Scotland. You know, you could see him really flourishing at a Hibs or a Hearts, or even if he was to return to Motherwell in some capacity, I think he would be a top player there again as well. So it's interesting, and I think contractually wise, you know, Celtic have been firing out 5-year deals for new signings recently. They seem to want to commit players long term. So I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, the chances of a contract for him are dwindling. It's just a case of can he prove himself, you know, in the next few months to Brendan Rodgers, but he's already on his way to doing that after the weekend.
Because, I mean, he was quite a big outlay, wasn't he? Was it £3 million to Motherwell? Yep. And I think Celtic would want to protect that, if for nothing else. So I'd imagine Celtic want to get a new deal, but I think if you're him, he spent the majority of the last 3 or 4 years on the bench. I don't know, I just wonder if he's maybe looking at it thinking maybe a club down south. I don't know. But I do think, definitely, you mentioned there Aaron Moy departing. I think that's went under the radar a wee bit, in the sense that he was quite a big player for Celtic last season. There was a period where he was the catalyst for a lot of wins. And if Turnbull, well, do you think Turnbull can be the man that sort of fills in for him?
I think so, yeah, because Aaron Moy was very, very effective, as you say, in certain moments last season. But I think there were also times his kind of game management maybe came into a bit of question. I think in the sort of latter stages of some of the kind of more lengthy and more arduous games, there was maybe questions over Aaron Moy. And look, you know, Aaron Moy's retired with an incredible pedigree, you know, and he's starred at World Cups, he's been in the Premier League, he's, you know, he retires on a high for sure. I think David Turnbull can play a similar style role in terms of filling in when required. But Aaron Moy's a loss. There's no doubt about it. And I think most Celtic fans would have hoped maybe for another season, maybe even another two seasons out of him. But it's one of those ones. I think you're always going to, you know, Celtic in recent years have always looked to bolster the areas that they're already covered in. You've seen that with the likes of Kwon arriving in the midfield as well. So I think, you know, Brendan Rodgers has got the tools there to kind of fill the void of Aaron Moy, but he can do that in a number of different ways.
Yeah. I definitely think that Turnbull has the talent to be a player that contributes, you know, between 15, maybe even 20 goals this season if he gets enough starts. And I just hope he does. You know, I really hope he fulfills the potential he's got. Elsewhere in the game, obviously Celtic won, but they weren't at their best. And the big talking point when it was at 0-0 was Joe Hart on Simon Murray. First of all, did you think it was a penalty? And where do you stand on Joe Hart at the minute?
Well, I wasn't in position at Celtic Park at the weekend, but I imagine there would have been an audible groan when Joe Hart chested the ball down, only for Simon Murray to essentially latch onto it. I think it's one of those ones, in fairness to the county striker, he's looking to go through. I think he's looking to put the ball in the net. And, you know, with VAR and all the different rule changes and stuff we're expecting this year, had he gone down, or had he gone down perhaps more definitively, I think the referee would have had a further decision to make. Yeah, it was one of those uh-oh moments where Celtic would probably feel they'd maybe got away with one. Certainly, you know, not for definite a penalty, but away from a more vigorous review, perhaps. I don't know if there actually was a VAR review at the time.
No, there wasn't, no.
Well, that's one of those ones that's potentially going to get looked at some point in the future. And in terms of Joe Hart, you know, Brendan Rodgers spoke a couple of weeks ago and he was talking about how, you know, it's not in Celtic's model to make marquee 15 to 20 million pound signings. And in a way, he's right about that. You know, Celtic recruited Cameron Carter-Vickers and Jota for less than 15 million combined. So he's absolutely right about that. But if there was one area of the pitch, one area of the Celtic squad that would perhaps require that kind of signing, probably would be the goalkeeping department. I think, you know, Celtic have sort of, in recent years, they've had very good goalkeepers, but there's for me personally, I don't feel as if there's ever been that consistent number one for years and years and years to, you know, to drag you through the good times and the bad times. And Joe Hart can still produce the goods for Celtic, there's no question about it. But perhaps that could be an area to look to bolster, I would have thought.
I feel a little bit, I don't know if the right term is, I feel a little bit sorry for Joe Hart. Just because the stick he's getting and because he's been, what's the word I'm looking for? He's been a good, really good signing for Celtic, but he almost rescued Celtic from the kind of Barkas debacle. You know, he'd spent 5 million in Barkas and he looked like he'd poppadoms for wrists. He looked like he couldn't make a save. No harm to the guy, but it was really bad. And Hart, a player of his quality, coming in for free. He went on record as saying that Celtic said, look, it's 15 grand a week, take it or leave it. And for him to come in, he probably could have got more money elsewhere.
Definitely.
I don't know. I think a lot of Celtic fans should be a bit more grateful to Joe Hart. I feel like I'm going to get stuck for that, but
certainly. I think as well, like I think he felt as if he had a point to prove. You know, Nuno Espirito Santo told him at Spurs, you don't have a future here. And I think for him, you know, his career speaks for itself, but certainly in the last couple of years, he's really not hit the heights. You know, he had a bad spell at Torino, didn't he? I think that was hampered with injuries. I think he was on West Ham's books as well.
West Ham, Burnley.
Yeah. So he'd had a couple of really rocky spells before he arrived at Celtic, and I think last season he was by and large, you know, far away, you know, a really top goalie. I think it's just that this season it's going to be a slightly different style of play to what we'd expected under Ange last season. So could that mean that Hart's under more pressure perhaps this season? I'm not sure, because obviously Ange wanted to play with his feet a lot. Brendan seems to so far be asking the same thing. So it'll be very, very interesting. But I think, you know, I don't think Celtic fans would be too displeased if a goalkeeper came in.
I think if you remember back to Rodgers' first spell in charge, one of his first signings was Doris de Vries. Yeah. And there was a lot was talked about at the time that it was because de Vries was so much more or better with the ball at his feet than Craig Gordon at the time. And if you actually look back, de Vries started the 5-1 game against Rangers. He started a couple of big games before Gordon got back in. So I definitely think this will be on Rodgers' agenda. But I would look at it and say, look, Hart's 36, not old for a goalie. He's been outstanding the last couple of seasons. He's not. We all know he's not great with his feet.
Mm.
I think the budget could be better spent elsewhere rather than going out now and getting a goalkeeper. I'd maybe use this season to look at your options and maybe look at next season for a goalkeeper or a young goalkeeper to maybe come in and work under Hart. I don't know. I just think there's other priorities. And just going back to Simon Murray for a moment, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, I know Simon Murray a little bit, and I texted him after the game and I said, just, you know, winding him up saying that was a nice dive and whatever. And he said, mate, why would I do that? He knocked me off my balance. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to dive? And I kind of got his point, but I don't think it was enough to actually give a penalty, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? But I don't know. So the game itself, just to finish up on it, I thought the two boys, Yang come on for a little, I think he was only on for 11 minutes, but I thought he looked really good. Odin Thiago Holm as well. I thought he was. I wouldn't say standout, but they both look like they're going to be really good signings for Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, they both seem to be in the model of how Celtic have operated in the last few years. I think Odin Thiago Holm is a particularly interesting talent. You know, he was named on the Golden Boy list for this year. Now, that might not mean a lot to a lot of people, but, you know, that's the same list that has the likes of Jamal Musiala and Jude Bellingham on it. So it's not... it's a very exclusive list of young European players. He certainly had a pedigree in Norway in terms of how, you know, his coaches and his former coaches looked at him. So I think he'll be a very, very interesting figure to bring along. And, you know, he was the first signing of Brendan Rodgers' second era. So Rodgers is going to want to put him into place. He's a young boy. How that means he might cope in the Champions League and various other things, not so sure. As I said, the Celtic midfield's incredibly competitive at the moment. And again, not seeing too much of young Yang, but it's a good move for Celtic to continue on. I know Brendan Rodgers quipped the last time he was in Glasgow that he doesn't need any more wingers. But Celtic have already got a few on their books at the moment. But that's with the style of play that they're looking to adopt. You need wing options and you need classic left footers and classic right footers. So I think Yang will settle in well. You know, the fact that the boy was so keen to push through this move kind of shows that you would think he's going to give it 100% when he gets his chance.
Yeah. Another player that came off the bench on Saturday, and it looks like it's for his swan song, was Carol Starfelt. Now, it looks like, as we sit here, it's not been announced, but it looks very much like he's going to sign for Celta Vigo under Rafa Benitez. I'm actually a lot more sad than I thought I'd be to see Starfelt go. I know Carter Vickers has claimed a lot of the headlines the last couple of seasons, and maybe rightly so. But I, after a rocky start, I really think Starfelt has been brilliant for Celtic. Like the two games against Rangers at Hampden last season, the semi-final and the final, I thought he was outstanding. He never put a foot wrong. He reads the game so well. I think if you watch them closely, any ball that comes into the box, he was often the first one there to meet it. I know he would try and play football like he was Franz Beckenbauer at times, and that, you know, that would sometimes backfire. But I don't know. I just think... I'm sad to see him go, I suppose. And see, to be honest, 2 years left in his deal, €4 million.
No, this is the thing that I agree. I can't agree with you more on that, Dan. I think in terms of Starfelt's rocky start at Celtic, it certainly was a rocky start. But I think any major criticism levied at him afterwards was almost a bit of a myth, because done really, really well. And yes, he was prone to the odd loose ball, bad touch. And, you know, sometimes when you watch him play, you think, oh, this is a bomb scare waiting to happen. But I agree with you entirely on the transfer side of things. I think Celtic have missed a trick here because they signed him for £4 million in 2021. Looks like, according to reports in Spain, it would be a little bit over that in terms of what Celtic are going to receive. Looks like some reports saying £4.3 million, £4.2 million. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty poor return, I agree with you, for a player who was linked with Spartak Moscow earlier on in the window. Now, I would have imagined, again, not coming from any knowledge on it, but I'd imagine that would have been a higher transfer fee. Mm-hmm. I think that would have potentially been up towards maybe £7, £8, £9 million. So I think Celtic have missed a slight trick. But listen, Brendan Rodgers was keen to sort of stress that there seems to be sort of personal concerns involved with the deal. You know, Starfelt's had a very successful spell at Celtic. La Liga's a fantastic league. I think he'll do well over there. Seems to be, according to reports in Spain, that Rafa Benitez is looking to use him sort of sporadically in terms of his back four or back five. It's a good move for him. Certainly it's a good move for him. I wouldn't say otherwise, but yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. There's a lingering feeling that a wee bit more cash could have been banked here.
I know. I definitely think, I mean, Roger said that, you know, he wants to go and they're kind of helping to try and facilitate that. But even so, I think he's definitely worth more than that in the current market. It's not very much more than Celtic paid for him. I don't know. I just feel that Celtic should maybe be pushing the envelope a wee bit more when it comes to that fee. But obviously, it opens up a spot in the squad. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Navroki came in at the weekend. I thought he looked really good. I thought he looked really solid. And I think he'll be the starter next to Carter Vickers. But as we've reported on Record Sport, Celtic seem to be in the market for another centre-half. Before we come on to them, do you think this kind of spells the end for players like Stephen Welsh, Kobayashi? I mean, if Rodgers really fancied them, really thought that they were, you know, first team regular material, surely Celtic wouldn't be in the market for another centre-half.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, it's a fair point. And I think, you know, Naroki's come in and yeah, had a very, very good performance at the weekend. Looked very steady. Very much in the sort of model of Starfelt as well, in terms of the partner that Rodgers would want him to be to Carter Vickers. So it seems almost like a bit of a straight swap at this point. Obviously, Starfelt with a bit more experience, clearly. But no, Rocky, if he keeps the performances up as he did at the weekend, he'll be fine. In terms of, you know, the likes of Stephen Welsh and Yuki Kobayashi, I tend to feel a bit sorry for you know, the latter particularly. He's still a very, very young player, Kobayashi. You know, he's come over as part of this cohort of players, you know, arriving from the Far East. Had a really poor performance against Rangers at Ibrox in May when the league was done. But I still think there's way more to come from him. Stephen Welsh, a very willing deputy. And I think if I was Rodgers, I'd be treading carefully, because Celtic last season in the Champions League had to do with Jens and Welsh for two group games because of injuries to Carter Vickers and Starfelt. So I would urge on the side of caution for selling anybody on or loaning anybody away. I think that would be somewhat of a mistake. You can never have too many centre-halves, never, especially with the way injuries can come round. But I guess for a guy like Stephen Welsh, I mean, there's reported interest in him from Italy. We've seen how incredibly well Scottish players have done in Italy in the last few years. Absolutely brilliant. Like Hickey, Ferguson, Josh Doyes, their careers have absolutely exponentially skyrocketed. So Stephen Welsh is still young enough to go over there and make a real impact. So I think it would maybe be in his best interest to pursue potential interested clubs. But in terms of Kobayashi, I would certainly say jury's out so far. Mm-hmm. He's got a long, long way to go. You know, I think he's signed on a 5-year deal as well. So long, long way to go for him. And I think he will get integrated eventually.
Just going back to Welsh for a moment. He's obviously still a young player, but he's 23 now. You know, he's not a kid anymore. And as you say, I think it was Udinese he was linked with. If I was him, I would jump at the chance of a move like that. No, I mean, obviously, Celtic's a much bigger club. You want to be Celtic's, you know, first choice centre-half. But I just don't think he's going to be. I just don't think... He obviously wasn't under Ange, although Ange, you know, said he rated him. I'm sure Rodgers rates him as well. But, you know, you only get one career. Yeah. And if Celtic go out and sign another centre-back, that's another one that will just jump in front of him, jump the queue.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be looking at it, and as you say, you know, an opportunity like going to play in Serie A or another country.
Yeah, it's huge.
If I was Welsh, I'd definitely look at that.
Yeah. I'm
it's worth saying as well that we're reporting in Record Sport today that Yuki Kobayashi has swapped agents. Mm-hmm. Apparently with... you know, looking to get a loan move somewhere, but who knows? Who knows how that'll play out? I'm sure there'll be plenty of twists and turns for a lot of people in the rest of the transfer window. But as we say, some of the players Celtic have been linked with, the big one that we've talked about in Record Sport is Gustav Lagerbielk. No idea if I'm saying that correctly. But in today's Record, our esteemed colleague Keith Jackson has written a very good piece. It's definitely worth reading on Lagerbielk. He's apparently in line to the Swedish throne. He's studying economics and he has these very disciplined sleep patterns. He certainly sounds like more than your kind of ordinary player.
Sure does. And I think with that name, he'll be a popular one among Celtic dads. This player, again, very much in the mould of what Celtic have been doing in the last few years with transfers. He kind of just off the back of his kind of stature and his physique, he kind of reminds me of a sort of younger Chris Ayer. Seems to be very much in the idea of that as a centre-half. And you know, Keith's report this morning on him was wild. Some of the fact that he wears the family crest on his shin pads, and he's officially a baron in Sweden, and all these very strange, facts about him. But at the end of the day, once again, it seems to be pretty much cut and paste, but in a good way for Celtic. £3 million seems to be the reported fees. A young player, again, in a similar vein to as we were saying on Odin Thiago Holm, very, very well liked in Sweden, very well considered by his coaches and his former coaches. So, again, it seems like a bit of a no-brainer, you know, bringing a young boy and kind of nurture him through. And, if he's a bit of a wacky character, then why not? Scottish football's got plenty of them, so...
He'll fit right in. As you say, he plays for Elfsborg at the minute. I think it's been mentioned around £3 million. Pounds. He's already got a cap for Sweden, which is no mean feat. You know, he's 23. He definitely looks like the guy that Celtic are looking at to replace Starfelt. But the other players have been mentioned. I mean, we've reported on Record Sport players like Xavier Mbayamba, who's a Dutch centre-back that Celtic have reportedly inquired about. He's playing in the Eredivisie. But the ones a bit more closer to home, Scott McKenna, Harry Suter.
Yeah.
Social media was awash with Harry Suter and his Rangers kit when that came out. So I'm not sure that one's got legs in it, but could you see any of them maybe? Rodgers been interested?
It's the one thing, Dan, that I think has been missing so far from Rodgers' second spell in charge. I was expecting so far for there to be an English championship style signing. You know, Rodgers has got a wealth of experience in the English market. He used that during his time at Leicester City, had some cracking players in that Leicester City team, you know, on the periphery of the team. Not to say that Celtic would be interested in them now, for example, because I know a lot of their players are moving on to bigger things, but that's the one element of it that I have been surprised about so far, that there hasn't been this big charge for a player in the model of Harry Suter or in the model of Scott McKenna, you know, very much English Premier League, English Championship, you know, big, strong, well-known defenders in terms of the UK market. So on those ones that we mentioned, I'm not sure either any of them will come to fruition, but certainly that will be what I would have expected to be the style that Rodgers might look for. Someone like Harry Suter's a very strong player. He's come on leaps and bounds in the last few years. Him in a Rangers kit, well, that would certainly be a point of contention.
He wouldn't be the first Celtic player to have worn a Rangers kit. But to be fair, I saw a lot of Celtic fans questioning his quality, and you know, I haven't watched him too closely, but I remember in the World Cup for Australia, he looked really good. Mm-hmm. I know the money down south is mental, but yeah. You know, still got a £15 million fee that he commanded. We know Rodgers obviously signed for Leicester. Rodgers must rate him to some degree. And he was left out at the weekend of Leicester's win over Coventry City. So, mm-hmm. while Celtic aren't going to pay over £10 million for him, maybe a loan deal, maybe, I don't know. But it certainly looks like Lagerbjelk is the guy that Celtic are after. So I guess it's a case of watch this space, really. Coming up for Celtic, we're recording this on Wednesday. On Sunday, first big test of the season. Away to Aberdeen. Yeah. Aberdeen look a lot better this season, I think, under Barry Robson. I think they're going to be a tougher team to beat. But would you change anything in the team? Would you bring Hatate back in, or would you just go with the same 11?
I maybe would bring Hatate back in. It's always a cracking game up at Pittodrie. Always has been. When any team goes there, Celtic, Rangers, anybody, they always make a really good game. And I think particularly Aberdeen this season, I feel, are quite strong in the midfield. I think Rodgers is going to want to counteract that. It's mm-hmm. always a very fast start to the game up at Pittodrie as well. A lot of the ball going through the middle, trying to break Aberdeen down. Saw it last season, Callum McGregor getting that late goal. You know, it was one of the most testing and arduous games that Ange Postecoglou faced as manager, that was for sure. So Rodgers is going to want his strongest 11 at the weekend. I think, you know, other than, you know, obviously Alistair Johnson being out, so, you know, Anthony Ralston's been involved recently. I think it's very interesting with Greg Taylor and Alexandre Bernabe as well. I think Bernabe's finally beginning to come to the fore a little bit as well, which is a good thing. But, you know, with injuries and various other things, I think, you know, his options aren't massive. So I would expect it to be pretty much the same team, but I would have thought Hatate would come back in for the weekend.
I would like to see Hatate back in, but when I look at the team that started against Ross County, McGregor, O'Reilly, and, you know, the aforementioned Turnbull, I don't really know where you bring him back in, because Turnbull would be raging, rightly so, if he was dropped. I tend to think he probably will stick with that starting 11. I don't know, maybe if he maybe takes one of Maida or Abad out and goes with four in midfield. I don't know, something like that. But I would probably bet money on it being the same starting 11. And I think it's going to be really tough. I think right now I would take 1-0 win for Celtic if it was offered. And then after that, I think as well, it's worth mentioning, I think next Tuesday, I believe it is, first or the second round of the Viaplay Cup, away to Kilmarnock. And just watching Kilmarnock beat Rangers on Saturday, I think that is going to be a really tricky encounter for Celtic.
Sure is. I think, you know, Celtic steamrolled Kilmarnock in that must have been the opening game of the season, or the second game of the season last season, 5-0.
That's right.
Trotter scored that stunner of a goal. And you know, Derek McInnes, by all accounts, has done a lot of work in the summer to get some of these players in. Matty Kennedy, that's a great signing. You know, players of that ilk are a fantastic signing for a club like Killy. And they'll be bolstered by that performance against Rangers. It was gritty, you know, it wasn't. But they were in it the entire 90 minutes, Kilmarnock. And I think if they feel they can do that against Rangers, they probably feel like they can compete against Celtic as well. So that'll be interesting. Of course, the cup competitions at this point, it's just all about, you know, simple progression, you know. So if it's a drab 1-0 for Celtic, they won't mind. But I think in terms of Aberdeen, I think, you know, Celtic will want to maybe put in a bit of a performance at Pittodrie, because the weekend was convincing, but it wasn't resounding.
Yeah. I mean, just to go back to Killy for a moment, I thought the interesting thing about their match with Rangers is that they were so comfortable. I mean, yeah. I'm not even trying to score points by slagging Rangers. I thought it was really quite incredible, really, how much Killy deserved that win. Didn't have, you know, a lot of chances, but Rangers never troubled them. And I would back Celtic to win at Rugby Park, but again, you've got that kind of awful pitch, which I know it's been talked about to death over the years, but I just think for a top flight league to have a pitch like that, it's pretty embarrassing, to be honest.
It's difficult, and I think, you know, listening to sort of David Martindale on the Livingston side of things, he was talking about it last year, and he was talking about the finances involved, for Livingston to try and, you know, recreate their pitch in the right way and stuff like that. And I think, you know, if possible, the clubs need to get some help from the league or from somewhere else here, because ideally, if all 12 clubs could have the same style of pitch and it wasn't, you know, we had no artificial surfaces, that would be fantastic. If we can get to that point, that would be excellent. But some of the clubs need help with these things, do you know what I mean? And I understand that some fans get angry because they think, oh, well, actually, these clubs like that because it's a trope or it's a trait. Like, oh, you come here, you can't win on our surface and stuff like that. But, you know, in the future, I think we're going to want to all be on a level playing field, aren't we?
I just think, and I'm not exaggerating here, you know, you watch some amateur games, some junior games, and they've got an immaculate grass pitch. And it just seems bizarre almost to me that teams in the Premiership have got these monstrosities, these plastic...
Sure.
I mean, the way the ball bounces and everything, it's just a pain, I think. Yeah. But it definitely will work to Kelly's advantage in big games. So I think that'll be a tricky tie for Celtic, but I would definitely back them to get through it. I definitely think, Matthew, I think we've covered pretty much everything there is to cover on this week's Record Celtic podcast. I would say, for anyone listening, you can find the latest Celtic transfer news, features and everything else on Record Sport Online. Matthew, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Dan. I'm sure I'll see you very soon.
Absolutely. And thanks very much for listening. Cheers.